I heard that song that they were singing when I was coming down the hall. And I said, really? What song were you singing, bro?
This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord hath made. And we'll rejoice and be glad in him. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Amen. Psalm 118, verse 24. My very first scripture. This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Whoo! To rejoice is to be incredibly happy. And to express our incredible happiness. That's what it is when we're rejoicing. That's what that song does. You notice how it just brought everybody up together? See, when we rejoice, we celebrate. Or we feel extreme happiness when we rejoice. As believers, our unceasingly rejoicing is the will of God for us in Christ Jesus. See, this is the key to a life of rejoicing. See, unsaved people, they do not rejoice in God. They don't pray to God or give thanks to God. Now, religious people, hear what it said? Religious people sometimes rejoice, pray when they feel like it, and give thanks when things are going good. Listen, the beauty of the day is not that it is new, but that we are being made new. The glory of the day is not that it marks a change, but that we are being changed. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I will rejoice and be glad in it. When we rejoice in the Lord, our rejoicing brings joy. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, whom not having seen, you love. On whom, though, now you see him not. Yet believing, you rejoice greatly with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Joy unspeakable is a joy inexpressible, beyond description, incapable of expressing in words. Joy unspeakable indicates great joy. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Amplified. Pastor, that's part of the Christmas story. Why does it have to be the Christmas story? It's a Christmas. It's a story of life. Amen. Story of our Savior. Anyhow, it says, but the angel said to them, talking to the shepherds, remember? Black night, dark, and all of a sudden, there's an angel appeared, and a light is lit up everywhere. He says, do not be afraid, for behold, I'll bring you good news of great joy. Good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For this day in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord, the Messiah. It's the good news of Jesus Christ, that brings great joy. Great joy. And we rejoice for that good news that brings us great joy. God's desire for us is to experience joy unspeakable in a continuum. Did you hear that? The joy of the Lord is what gives us strength to live out the life of Jesus, to live it out, Anthony, boldly. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. You know, Holy Spirit is a giver of unspeakable joy, happiness, and contentment. It's the Spirit that is the anchor and hope of heaven, who makes our hope grow strong and steady. Holy Spirit is our intercessor, who knows our needs and will show us what we need to pray for. You know, Nehemiah, what did he tell the people? He told the people this. He says, do not be worried. Do not be worried. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. It wasn't the walls. It wasn't the walls as they were building. The joy of the Lord is their strength. And the reason I point it out is because strength here means place of safety, a refuge. It means protection. Our place of safety is in God, whom we trust. You can hear that song. I trust in God, my Savior. The one who will never fail. Yes, he will never fail. Then he goes on to say, I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. See, that's why I trust him. Yeah, that's why I trust him. How about you? Can you say, I trust him? Do you really, really trust him? Do you really, really, really trust him? What are you worried about? Listen, Tim, Hebrews 11:6. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's what it says. You seek him, and he will be found. You know, the past tense of seek is sought. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. Say that. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. See, when you diligently seek the Lord, that will be your testimony. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. Amen. See, that's why we can trust the Lord. Every day is a day that we should be celebrating. Every day is a day to rejoice, to be joyful in. And we should rejoice today. What did we hear from the elders? I think that's their title. Elders. From what elders said. Count your blessings. Well, have I really had a blessing? And she pointed out, yeah. See, we are looking for this. When we got to look at, when you start looking and being thankful for little ones, then it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Because what you're looking for, you're missing a lot. And when you have missed them, you're not rejoicing and you're not a happy camper. I wonder why you're miserable. You're not appreciative for the little things. Right, Shirley? That's my favorite parking place. I want that one, Lord. And you go around, you go all the way around, come back around. That car pulled out. That car's gone. Hey, I got my parking place. But she's thankful for that. You know, that is something that we can't miss. That just doesn't happen accidentally. Not when you're praying and asking the Lord. But see, and you build up to all these different things. But this is the day that the Lord hath made. Hallelujah. And we are to what? Rejoice and be glad in it. Now, here's the other part, Dave. Philippians. Yeah. Philippians 4. But you're going to say 4, 6. How about we start with verse 4? I like verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Delight. Take pleasure in Him. Again, I say rejoice. Verse 5. Let your gentle spirit, your gentle spirit, Dean, your graciousness, unselfishness, mercy, tolerance, and patience be known to all people. A kinder, more gentler Pastor Jack. Ask trees, it works. It says, the Lord is near. Yeah, He's always near, He's present. But in one other one, it's the Lord is coming soon. Yeah. How soon? I don't know. But what I know, I'm supposed to occupy, and so are you. Mm-hmm. We're out there supposed to be winning souls for the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I'm not one that goes out and does this and does that. Well, support a ministry that does do that into other nations. But not only is he going to other nations, he's right here in this nation. You notice that? That's what he told you. He's doing ministry here because there are salvations at need in this country. Hallelujah. Verse 6. Do not be anxious or worried about anything. But in everything, every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific request known to God. Be specific on your request. A lot of times we miss that. Don't pray general. Pray what you need specifically. And the peace of God. I like that. And the peace of God. That peace which reassures the heart. That peace which transcends all understanding. That peace which stands guard over your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus is yours. It's that peace. And see, when that peace comes in, it's going to stand guard over your heart and your mind. Because you're not going to be taking any of those thoughts in. Because you have the peace of God. You prayed. He heard and He answered. Prayer is so vitally important to us. In our prayers, we talk to God. Our Father. Abba. Our daddy. Do not be anxious. Worried about anything. But in everything. Every circumstance and every situation. By prayer and petition. With thanksgiving. Continue to make your specific request known to daddy. And when you do, you will be able to give the testimony that says, I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him. Psalm 91, which we just read. Psalm 91. Verses 15 and 16. Here, God is speaking to us. Speaking to us. Verse 15 says, you shall call upon me. He's saying that to you. You shall call upon me, and I will answer you. I will be with you in trouble. I will deliver you and honor you with long life. I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. Salvation here is the Hebrew word Yahshua, and it's Strong's 3444. And it also means saving. It means health, deliverance, aid, prosperity, welfare, victory. With long life I will satisfy you, he says, and show you my saving power from the enemy. How about my deliverance from spiritual and natural attacks? I will show you my victory, he says. There's a lot more to salvation. When we call upon our Creator and Redeemer, confidently know He hears and He will answer you. And know almost assuredly, most assuredly, that God hears and answers your prayers. He answers your prayers. Jesus said, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Mark 11:24. I know you all know that one. But Jesus says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. When will you have them? When you pray. When you pray. That's the prayer of faith. Be not anxious or worried about anything. What are we supposed to be anxious and worried about? Right. But in everything, every circumstance and situations, everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific request known to God. Peace is how you'll know He answered. Yes, that He heard you. He heard your specific prayer. Prayer is our spiritual oxygen. Just as oxygen is vital to our natural life, so prayer is vital to our spiritual life. We need to pray regularly and constantly in order to live as God intends for us. And we are to live victoriously. Always the winner, never the loser. The head and not the tail. Above only and never, never beneath. Blessed in the city and blessed in the country. Overflowing with the good treasures from the heavens. Whew, Jesus. Now in John chapter 14, we discover one thing that God desires for our life by reading what Jesus says about the power of prayer. John chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, Jesus is speaking here, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Jesus said he was going to the Father, and that the works that he did, we would do. And even greater works. Amen? Jesus wasn't just talking to his disciples. And he wasn't talking to the pastor. Nope. And he wasn't talking to those Christians whom people consider that they're in high anointings upon them. No. Verse 12 says, he that believes on me. Are you a believer? Well, if you are, if you're born again, then Jesus is talking to you. Talking to you. He talks to you through his word. Are you listening? See, sometimes we just read it. We don't listen to it. That's why you read it out loud, so you get attention to what you're reading. The works that Jesus did, you are going to do also. He said it, I didn't. But then he goes on and says, you're even going to do more than that. You're going to do greater works than he did. Jesus is talking to all of you this morning that are sitting here. All you believers. Remember, Jesus is talking to you. See, if you're a parent, don't you want your child to be more successful than you are? To do greater things than you have done in your lifetime? Yes, sir. That's the way Jesus was. He did great works while he was on this earth. But he said to those who believe on him, you hear that? Who believe on him, that's the key to it. I want you to do more than I've done, is what he's saying. I want you to do greater works than I've done. Many of you are saying, but how can I do what Jesus did? How can I do even greater works than he did? The answer is right there in verses 13 and 14. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. And then verse 14 says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. We will accomplish the greater works through the power of prayer. Way too often things aren't accomplished in our life because we don't ask. So many people ask for things only when they get in trouble. Oh, God, please help me. Oh, please forgive me. Lord, you got to rescue me now. Don't misunderstand with that, what I'm getting to there. Because, you know, God does help us, he forgives us, and he does rescue us. So many times, The helicopter can come at the last time.
Yeah.
When you're sitting on top of your house. Remember that story?
Yep.
As the floodwaters came in, they sent a boat to him. God was, he kept praying, God save me, God save me, Lord. And he sent him a boat. And then he went up on his roof. Floodwaters come up, they're way up there. Lord, you got to save me now. Sends him a helicopter. He says, no, God's going to save me. Helicopter flies off. Floodwaters come in, took the house out, took the man out. He got to heaven. And he says, Lord, I thought you was going to save me. He said, I sent you a boat and I sent you a helicopter. How many lifelines can I throw out to you? Be aware. Be aware. More word, more insight into your spirit man will be. You will not miss those things. Amen? But he wants us to pray. He wants us to pray. And he wants us to ask him things according to his word. Even when we're in trouble. Unfortunately, prayer is often the last thing people do instead of the first thing. The first thing they do is speak everything contrary to the word. How many times have you heard someone say, well, I've tried such and such, and it didn't work. Or I tried this, and I tried that, and the other thing. And then he said, finally, I had to pray about it. Finally, I had to pray about it. I thought of this then. Oh, come on, man. You know? But that's where they're at with it. The first thing we should do is what? Pray. That's the first thing we should be doing is praying. Prayer was never meant to be the last resort. It was meant to be the source of continual communication between God and us. Prayer is the responsibility of every believer. Prayer is so important that God commanded us in his word to pray. Ephesians 6:18. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Three words. Never stop praying. Pretty easy to remember that one, isn't it? Never stop praying. 1 Timothy 2:8. In every place of worship, I want men to pray with holy hands lifted up to God, free from anger and controversy. Prayer should never be viewed as drudgery. Talking to God is a privilege. We should never have the attitude, do I have to pray? No. We should be thankful for the opportunity and the freedom to pray. In this nation, we have a freedom to pray. Other nations don't have that. Ask our brother later. He'll tell you what it's like, this oppression and oppression that's down there upon those people. They're so hungry for God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Many of the problems we faced in life could have been avoided if we had been praying on a regular and continual basis. See, and the same goes for the ecclesia, the church. If we would have been praying and interceding for this nation, it would not be in the condition it is in now. Take on the responsibility. We have to realize we weren't praying. The church wasn't praying. And we are the church. We are the ecclesia. When you realize that, you say, okay, Lord, I repent for that. And you get back and you start praying. You pray for this nation. But see, it's not too late to pray for this nation. If we pray together in agreement, the power of synergy is released. Synergy is multiplying power. Spiritual synergy takes place when two or more people agree in prayer. The result is that through this multiplied power, much more is accomplished than would have been had they prayed alone. In Leviticus chapter 26, verse 8, it teaches us right here. It says, because this is the multiplication, the power of multiplication right here. It says, five of you shall chase 100. And 100 of you shall chase 10,000. And your enemies shall fall before your sword. That is Leviticus chapter 26, verse 8. Spiritually, that's powerful. Mathematically, however, makes no sense. Five taking on 100. 100 taking 10,000. Like I say, spiritually, that's powerful. Mathematically, however, it doesn't make any sense to us. But that's God. But something unusual and supernatural takes place through agreement, through synergy. When we agree in prayer, power increases exponentially. Did I get that rightly? She's my math teacher. Synergy also occurs through generational connections. Where did you get some of this information from? Dutch sheets. When the ways of the spiritual strengths of one generation are walked in by the next, power and fruit multiply. Spiritual mantles, another word for callings and giftings, multiply. They multiply in effectiveness through generational synergy. Multiplication, remember that. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9, is a good example. And so it was when they had crossed over the Jordan, remember, that Elijah said to Elisha, remember that's when Elijah went over with his cloak, took it off, went, and he separated the waters of the Jordan. And they both walked across on dry ground. He said, ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you? And Elisha said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. God's plan is always for the present generation to build on and multiply the strengths of the previous generation. See, this is synergy of the ages. Multiplied power and fruitfulness through generational agreement and honor. God's purpose for America is that it be a powerful voice of the gospel to the ends of the earth. See, so let us declare that America will fully turn back to this purpose and will accomplish through her all that God has intended in this hour. A great harvest is going to be a big part of this synergistic. Let's make this declaration right now. Let's say, we decree,
we decree
that the synergy of the ages is producing powerful breakthrough and wonderful fruit in America today. Yeah, today. Not tomorrow. Today. Now. Now. Come on, yeah, Tim. America shall be saved. That's it, huh? Now, in John chapter 16, verse 13, says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall speak not on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. Yeah. Now, this is very important right here. Very important. That's why God made sure we had this in here. It says, and he will tell you things to come. He will tell you things to come. The Spirit will tell you things to come. Now, how can God warn us about something to come if we never talk to him?
Oh, boy.
Talk to God. That's what prayer is. Talk to God. Every day. Constantly. Consistently. And persistently. If we spend more time in prayer, we will be able to pray on the offense instead of the defense when problems arise. When we enter into a life of prayer, the Lord will show us things to come. When the Lord shows you things to come, now, remember, he might not give you the whole plan. However, he will tell you everything you need to know at that moment in order for you to be successful in life. And you will be able to hear his voice if you will stay sensitive in your spirit and continue to live a life of prayer. Who's responsible for that? One of the most important things we should want to do as a believer is to walk out that perfect plan of God for our lives. And how do we walk out that plan? We do it through prayer, through reading his word, and through developing an intimate relationship with him. It is through prayer that we have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. It's how we come to know him better. By developing an intimate relationship with God, we allow him to start guiding us in his course for our life. So we can trust that everything will be all right because we know we are walking in his plan. Since before we were born, he knew the plan of life that he had for us, all drawn out. He knew it from the beginning to the end. And even when you do oops during the plan, he'll put you back on track. You just got to repent. He is faithful and just to forgive us. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now we must choose whether to walk in his plan, doing the works that Jesus did, and even greater works than he did. Can you all say amen?
Amen.
All right. Yeah. Let's honor the Father right now.